Ready to unwrap a surprise from Consumer Cellular? Experience the gift of freedom with no contract, no hidden fees, and always free activation. Here comes the holiday surprise. From now till December 31st, new customers can enjoy their second month for free. To get this holiday offer, visit ConsumerCellular.com or call 1-888-FREEDOM and use promo code PODCAST. Act before December 31st to get your second month on us. Use promo code PODCAST.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we are back. And folks, I wanted to say Jane and George have pledged $130. Thank you, Jane. B&B pledges $400. And T pledges $50. And L pledges $20. Okay, there you go. And I wanted to just say this very quickly. We've talked, Joe, you and I have been talking about what's happened in Armenia to the Armenian Christians. You don't hear anything. I mean, as far as I know, we're the only one that I know that was reporting on it. Now, Epic Times is now reporting on it. So let's play a clip there from Roman from Epic Times. We're going to do about a five-minute clip here. There's about three clips we have, but go ahead and bring that up. It's coming.
On October 7th of this year, Hamas launched a surprise attack against Israel. And you might remember that almost immediately after that attack, about 2 days later, the Israeli defense minister came out and he announced a total blockade of the entire Gaza Strip ahead of a ground invasion. This meant that the fuel, the water, and the electricity were no longer available to flow into the region. Now, for the ordinary Gazan citizen, meaning the mother, the kid, and the husband who runs a little shop, this was a total disaster. And internationally, we saw many news reports covering exactly that, the effect that this blockade was having on ordinary people. However, as important as it is to cover what's happening over in Gaza, well, there's another blockade that's been ongoing for the entirety of the year, which has had no media coverage at all. That's because, despite a near-total media blackout, over in the Caucasus region, 120,000 Armenian Orthodox Christians have been under blockade by their Muslim neighbors for pretty much the entirety of the year 2023. Specifically, for 9 full months, these Armenian Christians were being quite literally starved to death by a blockade that was imposed on them by their neighbors, the government of Azerbaijan. The area where these Christians were blockaded was this right here, the Nagorno-Karabakh region, or as the Armenians call it, the Artsakh region. This is where tens of thousands of families were trapped and starved until finally, in September of this year, they accepted exile from their homeland and they fled across the mountains to escape persecution. Now, while we here in the West might look at what's happening over in Armenia as being completely separate from what's happening over in Israel, it's really worth mentioning that that's not how the Muslim nations see it. For many Muslim leaders, this is all part of a broader conflict between the forces of the West, being specifically Christendom and Judaism, versus the Islamic forces of the Middle East. For instance, here is an excerpt from a speech that was given by President Erdogan of Turkey, and it was given just 4 weeks ago, about a month ago. And notice how during the speech, even though he's discussing what's taking place over in Gaza, he includes a reference to what's currently taking place over in Armenia, when he specifically mentions the Christians over in the Nagorno-Karabakh region. Take a listen.
Ukrayna'da ölenler için gözyaşı döktünüz de, Gazze'de ölen bu yavrular için niçin sesiniz çıkmıyor? Ey Batı, size sesleniyorum. Siz yeniden bir Hilal Haçlı mücadelesi mi estirmek istiyorsunuz? Eğer böyle bir gayretin içerisindeyseniz, biliniz ki bu millet ölmedi. Bu millet dimdik ayakta. Ve yine aynı şekilde, aynı kararlılıkla Libya'da neysek, Karabağ'da neysek, bilesiniz ki Orta Doğu'da doğuyuz.
And so you see, the Crusader Crescent War that he's talking about is an obvious reference to the Christian Crusaders versus the Crescent symbol of Islam. And he very obviously included what's currently happening in Azerbaijan as just one example of that broader conflict, one battle in a larger war. And so with that as the general context, let me give you a brief history of what's taking place currently in Armenia. Armenia is the oldest Christian nation on earth. They were the first to adopt Christianity as their official religion all the way back in the year 301 AD. And as such, they have some of the oldest Christian churches and Christian artifacts in the whole world. Quote, after adopting Christianity, over the next millennia, Armenians built thousands of churches, monasteries, schools, and scriptoria, which produced beautifully illuminated manuscripts. Because Armenia was a crossroads between Europe and Asia, the land suffered from wars and invasions, with the most significant being the Muslim conquest of the 7th and 8th centuries. Even then, the Armenians managed to practice their faith, surviving all these assaults on their traditions. Then, the 20th century arrived. From 1915 to 1922, the Armenian genocide and the destruction of many buildings and artifacts wiped out much of Armenian culture and religious practices. Later, in those areas under the thumb of the Soviet Union, authorities clamped down on Armenian Christianity, imprisoned some priests, and closed many of the remaining churches, allowing them to fall into disrepair. All right, just to pause here for a super quick moment. In my research, I also found that Stalin, in order to lessen the resistance of these Christians in Armenia, he specifically drew the border between Armenia and Azerbaijan in a way that did not reflect the reality on the ground in order to essentially inflame ethnic tension. And the result is what happened next. Quote.
Alrighty, we are back. Alrighty, there you go. I wanted to finish that article.
The clap.
And maybe you could comment on that, Wendy. The five countries, are we there?
I'm here.
Okay, very good. The five countries in particular, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, United Kingdom, and the United States, were the primary nations to be targeted with the COVID injections, as well as all the tyranny that preceded and accompanied it. Now, the whole world suffered under some degree of COVID tyranny, except for perhaps Sweden, but these five member nations were the most aggressively targeted by the globalists who unleashed the COVID to target their enemies. They were referred to as Five Eyes, by the way, is an intelligence alliance comprising the five aforementioned countries. All five nations are bound to multilateral UK-USA agreement, a treaty for joint cooperation in signals intelligence. So each of these English-speaking countries have been subjugated to the New World Order globalist cabal faster than you can say the great scamdemic. The State of the Nation reported back in 2021, also noting that many other European countries were hit hard by the COVID tyranny. So I'm going to leave off there. It's a lengthy article.
Yes, I remember hearing some sort of conference discussion where they were, these were scientists, biologists, and they were essentially, in a nutshell, saying they've identified the Christian gene or genome. So if they think they have, then you're suggesting that these serums are targeting specific people or groups, then they may be using that in their serum research, as you've pointed out.
Absolutely. This is the Antichrist world system that the Bible clearly warns us about. So,
mm-hmm. Well, there's one I've got to throw in here. I want Wendy to comment. Have you heard that the NIH has granted Colorado University almost $7 million to build a new bat lab, 14,000 square foot facility, and it's all on our dime, and this is the collaboration between Dr. Anthony Fauci's old National Institute of Health, Colorado State University, and our old friend EcoHealth Alliance, remember? And some people are pretty upset because the lab is proposed to import, house, breed, and experiment on dozens to hundreds of bats and be located right next to the Foothill campus. They're in Fort Collins, right next to the campus. And they're going to be 300 feet from the university. And it's going to be a biosafety level 2, and anyway, some of the stuff, it's a long, long article. Peter Daszak is in here involved in it. Some of the old names coming back. It sounds to me like the same people are going to be working on the same thing and bringing it to Colorado to work on. And it sounds kind of scary. What do you know about it?
Yeah, I mean, bats harbor quite a few viruses, probably dozens of viruses. And, you know, I reported on this back in, I think, 2008 or 9, that scientists were going into bat caves trying to harvest new viruses. They wanted new viruses. And, of course, when you ask people, why are you doing that, or why are you resurrecting the Spanish flu, why would you want to do that? Well, always the answer is to protect humanity so we can create vaccines to protect you.
Right. Create the disease so we can make the antidote to protect you, right?
Right. So they've made this RSV, and now they have a vaccine, see? So, and in a lot of instances, the vaccines bring on the disease. So if you notice, they roll out flu shots typically in October. And
before the virus, right?
Yeah. And so then and then people that get vaccinated are shedding the virus for at least 2 weeks, and they're infecting others. So that's how you start the flu season.
By the early vaccines. So here you've got a new lab that we're paying for that's going to be working to infect different bats, look at different viruses. And,
Joe, I got to jump in real quick and give the phone number. It's 888-281-1110. That's especially for credit cards, put checks to 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, folks. We need to hear from you. We only have, about 2.5 hours left this week to raise enough to stay on your station for all of next month. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I was just pointing
just
out to Wendy.
I
wanted to bring
up
one point.
There are more viruses than there are bacterias. Okay, so there's a whole plethora of viruses they can play with, and they look for specific ones. I did a show. I kind of did a deep dive into virus characters because they look for specific characters. They look for ones that are easily transmitted. They look for ones that are particularly virulent. They look for ones that typically involve the pulmonary, like I mentioned. So usually a respiratory type of issue, because that's the one that takes more people out more quickly. I just think, you know, we've got a very much a dark side to modern medicine right now. And I did want to mention before I forget, at Apothecary Herbs, we're having our end-of-year winter sale, so it's a holiday sale. It runs through the end of the month, and it's 25% off if people want to stock up.
All right, very good.
All right, I want to bring up one point. They're setting up a Level 2 lab. The lab at Wuhan was a Level 2. They used it because it was cheaper. A Level 3 is a lot safer, but way more expensive. What is it mathematically, that progression, way more expensive than a 2. It's like more than double the cost of a 2. And so here they're doing another Level 2 in Colorado to work with bat viruses, and it was from a Level 2 that the virus supposedly, quote, escaped the first time, right?
Yeah. I mean, some of their protocols on these labs are questionable, in my opinion. Like, let's say, Pastor Joe, you wanted to buy a 5-gallon bucket of alcohol. It would be delivered to you in a hazmat truck. You'd have to sign for it. There's all these things that have to go on for you.
Not where
that.
Joe lives, out in Missouri. You've got moonshiners all over the place.
well, we don't talk about that.
Well, the point I'm making is some of these labs will mail pathogens through FedEx.
FedEx. And they're not qualified to handle that, right?
So I'm like, okay. Yeah, it's a problem. Some of these labs have real problems. They have protocols. They have things on paper. They have policy, but a lot of times people don't follow them, just like at the hospitals. They don't follow them, and then, you know, you've got, you know, hospital-transmitted, you know, infection.
All right, very good. We're going to go in a different direction because we got a lot of things to cover. Cameron and our Carmen in Connecticut pledges 100. Thank you, Carmen.
Hello, Carmen. Hey, I'm going to have to scoot because I got a big day tomorrow, but I enjoyed every minute. I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
You know, we wish you a happy, maybe this be the best Christmas ever for you, Wendy. God bless you.
Oh, you as well, both of you and Pastor Joe. You have a blessed night, and I hope the donations keep coming in because you need it.
I do too, Wendy. Thank you. All right. She's another little sweetheart there. Okay, a couple things, Joe, I wanted to go over, I wanted to hit. First of all, you just mentioned Colorado. You know, they want to keep Trump off the ballot. You have all of these states now. Now, here in Ohio, you can write in a candidate. You can write in, you know, if you want to, if the, you know, because they have usually the Republican and the Communist. But you can write in. A lot of people did that. We actually had a bunch of people that wrote me in. Okay, on the one election. But anyhow, so what do you think will happen in Colorado if they take Trump off the ballot? Do you think there's going to be a whole lot of people to write him in?
I think from everything I've got about 8 stories on that whole thing. The Supreme Court will throw it out. There's about 6 other states that are watching Colorado want to do the same thing. They're all liberal. They're all stacked with anti-Trump people. And it seems like the more they attack Trump, the more people that decided they want to vote for him and they're going to stand up with him. And it goes back to this story. Joe Biden came up and said, quote, "There's no question Donald Trump engaged in an insurrection on January 6th. And he said, "I'm siding completely with the Colorado Supreme Court that disqualified him from the ballot." No, it was never an insurrection. There was a bit of a riot.
Oh, there was an insurrection, all right, there was, but it was not, it wasn't by Trump and the Patriots.
Right.
Nancy Pelosi, Chuckie Schumer, the entire communist collective had an insurrection.
The insurrection is what's going on right now with trying to keep our candidate off, you know, to be able to go out there and plead his case for why he should be elected, and they're interfering with our election, our choices. That's the insurrection. And, you know, that they keep saying insurrection. And I was looking at the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, and, you know, you have to be found basically if they've engaged in an insurrection or rebellion, giving aid or comfort to the enemies. Well, if you're in a insurrection, you are trying to take over the government, take over the money system, take over the power structure. And none of those things happened on January 6th. There were no weapons involved. Nobody was there trying to take over the treasury. Nobody was trying to take over the accounting, put a general in charge of the military. None of the things that would make a insurrection possible happened. And so all of this is nothing but, you know, they're desperate. They're trying to smear Trump. They're trying to scare people away from voting for him. They're trying to distract. And that's the big thing. If they can just keep throwing mud at him, they think eventually he'll get enough, you'll be covered in enough mud, he'll sink. But he keeps rising to the top, and I think it's because God has given us a choice. We can support good, or we can allow evil to triumph. And to me, it's not much of a choice, is it?
In third world countries, Joe, they call this a coup, all right?
A coup, yeah. We call it a revolution. It's a communist revolution. We've been telling people that for a couple of years now.
So, all righty, folks, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Dorothy in Michigan pledges 25. Thank you, Dorothy. Joe, you have here update. Biden regime removes iconic Confederate Reconciliation Memorial at Arlington Cemetery after Trump-appointed judge clears the way. Judge takes shot at memorial during the hearing. Here you go. Basically, what one of the communist goals was to destroy the history, to rewrite history. And that's exactly what they've done in the public school system here in America. And this is hardcore communism, cultural Marxism. And this is why they're trying to erase our history in this country. Folks,
they tried to pull down all those statues across the country. They were even trying to get rid of the statue of Lincoln.
Yeah, I know.
And it was, you're absolutely right. You destroy the history, you rewrite the history, so you tell the people what to expect in the future by rewriting the past to make your future the one people are going to accept.
Stalin said, in order to control a people's future, you must destroy their past.
Exactly.
All right, very good. Now, here's something else that's happened. Well, actually, there's an article, a conservative writer, Sean Davis, explains why the left wants to remove the Civil War Reconciliation Memorial Monument. Well, basically, he's saying what we just said. He just takes a couple pages to say basically what we just said. They want to destroy the past.
Yep.
Alrighty, let's go to a dangerous photographer. Clicks by Jeffrey Epstein, mean reputational damage. I'm Prince Andrew. I'm looking here. They have all of these pictures here from Epstein's Island, and you've got these people, and you've got these women who were used in sex trafficking. These are young girls, and sex trafficking. And you've got one of them is massaging Bill Clinton. She's massaging Bill Clinton. Another one is standing with Prince Andrew. Another one is, and you've got that, what's her name, the Epstein's girlfriend there with her.
Yeah, all of a sudden I couldn't think of her.
Elaine Max.
She was the groomer.
Yeah, Maxwell.
Maxwell.
And then you've got Bill Gates. He's standing there with another one of these girls that were used in sex trafficking. These they were virtually prisoners there and used. They were conned, and Maxwell was the one that was recruiting these girls, and then they were using them for sex toys.
Well, that's coming out. Names, and there's going to be a lot of information kicked out. And I know they say Prince Andrew is very upset and nervous, and I think he has a right to be. I think he's knee-deep in things he shouldn't have been, and it's about time the truth came out. But I've got a special article I want to do real quick.
Go ahead.
We know that the border is a mess. You mentioned, the other day they had over 14,000 migrants, and the articles, there was 25,000 more just across the border waiting to come in the next day. This was yesterday. But what struck me, an article by Bill Malugin, Fox News, there was a Colombian woman entered illegally crossing the border at El Paso. And the story was from Representative Tony Gonzalez of Texas. Now, this woman came in, and she was released, told to check in with U.S. Immigration and Customs in New York City in 2031. The woman's attorney, Matthew Culkin, in the nearly 30 years, he said, of immigration law, he's been practicing, this woman's release with a check-in date of 8 years from now is one of the most shocking things he's ever seen. And he said he thought this time he had a real legitimate asylum seeker, where most of them aren't. He admitted that. And he said they're so backlogged now that he's not sure he and his team will ever even get a chance to argue her real case in a court 8 years from now. He said, it made me realize the Biden administration is basically providing backdoor amnesty to anyone who wants to show up at our border. And this guy was named twice Lawyer of the Year in immigration law. And he's saying the Biden administration is providing backdoor amnesty for anyone who shows up at the border.
How long
I thought that was the story of the day.
How long did it take him to figure that out, I wonder? All right.
I thought it's amazing, but finally it's like it hit him. I think all these years he thought he was helping poor people. You know, I really, some of these people, I think, in their hearts thought they were doing good things, and they were so blinded, you know, by their indoctrination, and all of a sudden he's seen it for what it is. It's now so obvious that even a true believer cannot handle.
You know what, Joe? Some of those, even in the mainstream media now, have discovered that maybe the border is not secure. Yeah, I mean...
You think that 14,000 crossed illegally yesterday, 26,000 already in custody, the highest in U.S. history.
8 million since Obama's been in office.
Yeah, well, right now they have polled. They've been polling... what are they called? The prison guards. They've been bringing prison guards and buses, and they've been bringing U.S. Marshals, all kinds of people down there just to help do the paperwork and bring these people in. And they've closed that rail terminal station there, and they say they're losing, this little town is losing $15,000 a day, and the town is one of those that's hit already with all these migrants, and they're calling it very dire, when all your income from a small border town is being shut off, $15,000 a day, the town is already broken, overwhelmed. This has gotten to be a real, I call this an insurrection, a real riot, because they're basically, what, tearing down all our institutions.
All right. John in Ohio pledges $75. Thank you, John. 888-677-9673 or 888-281-1110. Again, 888-677-9673 or 888-281-1110. Folks out there listening, if you don't get the newsletter, you really should get the newsletter. You really should. You have very, very interesting articles, things out there. Now, when we do these articles here, we usually just do a very small portion because of time. But when we send you the articles in the newsletter, you usually get a lot more meat in the articles. But here's one. You mentioned prison guards. Now, the corrections officers of the as jail prison guards, you might say, at that dirty D.C. jail, the majority of them are talking with the inmates, and they're telling the inmates, look, we know that you guys shouldn't be here. We know that you got slam dunked. We know this, that the people that put you here are the ones that really should be in here. This is what the prison guards are telling the inmates in that dirty D.C. jail. J6 political prisoner Ryan Samsel, he can't walk. He suffers life-threatening conditions in solitary confinement, and judge, marshals, guards, Congress could not care less. Judge, marshals, guards, and Congress could not care less. Now, January 6th, political hostage Ryan Samsel could barely stand when he woke up last Thursday morning. The same throbbing pain that pierced through his left arm in 2021. Doctors discovered blood clots is surging through his massively swollen left leg. Locked in a hole at D.C. Gulag, he calls the correctional officers for help, begging to see a doctor to no avail. The Supreme Court of the United States has long held that jails and prisoners cannot deny essential medical care to people who are incarcerated, deemed medical deprivation to be cruel and unusual punishment in violation of U.S. Constitution. But activist federal judges are having a field day abridging the Bill of Rights. And this is what we keep telling you out there,
where
folks.
Where are the Republicans? Where are the Republican congressmen and senators?
Well, I got to say this, that Marjorie Greene woman has been over there, Congresswoman, I can't remember her name, the very short pistol packing one. She's been over there.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Jordan's been over there. Matt Gaetz has been over there. There's a handful of them, but they're just, again, you know, they're a minority, but they're doing
the
best.
The Republicans are, what, 217 Republicans, and we keep talking about the same five or six that do something. Where are the other 210, you know?
You're right about that.
And people should be calling their congressman saying, why aren't you there? Why haven't you visited? Why haven't you brought up the fact that these people are being held illegally? It's unconstitutional. This person is sick and dying. What are you going to do about it? And, you know, it seems like the only way to get people to do something is if they just get hammered with phone calls and angry constituents.
All righty. Anthony from Texas pledges 200, and Joe from New York pledges 300. No, that's 200, right? We've got correction. So both Joe and Anthony both pledge 200. Thank you. We'll be right back after this.
On a cold winter's morning, on a sidewalk in the city, a lost soul approached me as the snow was getting deep. I could see the look of death. It was there in her eyes now as I began to preach. She began to speak. She said,
Peter, I'll admit it. I've come to kill my baby. The whole world is telling me that I have that right. But deep down inside me, I believe what you're preaching. Children are a gift of God. We've got to give them life.
So I put my arm around her. And I gave her the gospel. It was right there in the darkness that she'd see the light. Two souls were saved, both her and her baby. If you're called to do the Lord's work, you had better learn to do it right. You've got to know how to use it. Not just the preaching. Don't try to walk away. There's no way to run. Now every preacher knows the rock of his salvation. I'll separate the goats from all the sheep. All men are sinners. They all need the Savior. He's the only one to trust in. It's your soul that he'll keep. And when I finish preaching,
the woman was a believer. A baby in her womb I knew she would keep. And now 25 years later, her baby is a young preacher. She's so very proud of the baby that she decided to keep. You got to know how to please him. Not just to please him. Don't try and walk away. Not just to appease him.
Don't try to walk away. There's nowhere to run. You better count your blessings and do it while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's got the Son. You got to know.
Not just to appease him. Don't try and walk away. There's nowhere to run. You better count.
All righty, that was called The Preacher, and that's a true story. A true story. That happened, folks. And I remember it. It was a cold winter's day, and it, snow was falling as I watched that way down the sidewalk. It was still dark early in the morning. About 7 o'clock in the morning, I was out there in front of the bloody abortion mill, getting them as they come in early. And I watched as she walked down, way down the sidewalk. You could see this aura around her of death, I called it. And when she got up close, I asked her, I said, have you come here to kill your baby? She said, yeah. And that's when I told her, I said, you know, a lot of these women, when they come in to kill their babies, many of them die right in the chair there. They die in the operating room. And I said, if you died, where would you spend eternity? Would you go to heaven or hell? She said, I'd probably go to hell. And that's when I asked her, is that where you want to go? She said, no. And she says, but what can I do? I don't know what to do. And I says, why are you going to kill your baby? She said, this was a white woman. She said, because he's going to be born, they said, without a brain. And I said, oh, so the father was black. She says, well, why did you say that? I said, because that's what they tell all of them. They come in here. You're about, I don't know how many of them said the same thing to me. And I said, look, do you want to go to heaven or hell? And she said, I want to go to heaven. And what do I do? And she said this. And actually, I didn't tell her to get on her knees. She got on her knees in that snow, deep snow. And she repeated after me. She said the sinner's prayer. She got saved. And then she said, I said, now, how big is God? And she had this big smile on her face. And she said, God's bigger than everything. I said, is he bigger than your problem? She said, yeah, he is. And the baby was named Adam. Wasn't a thing in a wrong with a baby. He had a brain. You know, I knew he would.
Yeah.
And from what I heard, the last I heard, he's a young preacher now. Okay, so... anyhow, here, Joe, Pope Francis charges Israeli army with terrorism over a firefight near Holy Family Church with RPGs fired at the IDF. Israeli denies the accusations. Well, I don't know who's right or wrong on this one, but I do know that the Pope, okay, has gone, since he's embracing sodomy, and there's a pattern. All of these people that you see, when they once they embrace sodomy, the next thing they do is they brace abortion. And so I'm telling you now, I have no doubts in my mind, he will soon be embracing abortion. He embraced sodomite marriage. That's just the road they go down to. And so and this is why so many people are leaving the Roman Catholic Church in the large numbers.
Yeah, well, one of the things that he neglected to mention, one of the big stories out London Daily Mail, when the Israelis went in, they took over that big hospital, the Gaza Medical Facility. The director was in there.
He was a general, a brigadier.
Well, that was he was in charge of that part. There was a doctor, a director in charge of the hospital there. And he sat down and talked with them and said, yep, they were, the Hamas used the hospital, their commander there, to hide operatives, carry out military activities, move personnel, bring in captured soldiers, all kinds of things, stockpile weapons. They were moving, they had the tunnels. And the one of the tunnel that went from the hospital went right into the largest tunnel they've ever found. It's 2.5 miles long, and it's big enough that you can drive a small car from one end to the other. And it's they said along the way, these tunnels are connecting to mosques, nurseries, daycares. They have the tunnel accesses come up in daycare centers, mosques. So everything that Hamas can do to put the people in the line of fire, to use people as hostages. So, yeah, whenever the ADF goes in anywhere, they have the biggest problem in the world because they've warned the people through phone calls, leaflets. They drop leaflets. They use loudspeakers. They even had used the telephone system, called everybody that they could get a number, told them to leave, get out of the way. Told them where to go, where they were going to attack. This is the only military in the world that tells the enemy when they're going to attack, where, tries to get all the people out of the way first, and then Hamas still keeps people there as hostages. So anytime people die, it's horrible, but they're fighting the most evil kind of enemy in the world that uses things like this. And unfortunately, there are going to be some civilians die because of Hamas, not because of Israel.
I know. You know, that's, what can I tell you? That's the way it is. But anyhow.
So even the Pope, you know, should know this stuff. He's got staff and people, and, you know, they just, again, that lie by omission, Pastor.
I hear you, Jim. All righty. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. We have approximately 20 minutes to be here tonight. We have 20 minutes left to hear. And then tomorrow we have virtually about tomorrow we have about 1 hour and 40 minutes tomorrow of actual time tomorrow to raise enough to stay on the station you're listening to us for the next month. Help us do that, because we won't be on Friday. That's our Christmas program on Friday. So help us out tonight. We really need your help at 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Here you go, Joe. You had city coughing up $825,000 for infringing on farmers' religious rights. A Michigan city is coughing up $825,000 because its officials infringed on the religious rights of a local farmer by banning him from the market event. And so here, he goes on to stay here. It was back in 2017 that the city officials excluded Tennis specifically because of his religious belief. Steve and his family-run farm happily serve all customers as valued vendor at East Lansing's Farmers Market. The court was right to agree that the First Amendment protects Steve, like every other small business owner, to operate his business according to his faith and convictions. Lawyer Kate Anderson said in a prepared statement, "We were pleased to the favorable settlement this lawsuit had on behalf of Steve, so he and his family can continue doing what Country Mill does best, as expressed in its mission statement, glorifying God by facilitating family fun on the farm and feeding families." So every now and then the good guys win one, huh?
Exactly. We've done several stories like that where the government's come after farms trying to, you know, sell beef, sell chickens, eggs, all kinds of things. The government's been interfering, but seldom do we get to hear the outcome because it takes so long. You and I do so many stories, we can't remember how many stories like this we've done. And look at this one. It took, what, 3, 4, 5, 6 years for an outcome.
Yep.
There's something terribly wrong with a system where something that simple should take, what, 6, 7 years to come to fruition?
Yeah. And else.
Not America.
Right. Javier Milei administration to ban woke language in Argentina's military. Argentina's new president, Javier Milei, is reportedly planning to ban exclusive or woke language from the country's military. You have to wonder if he's been watching what's happening in the military in the United States, which is still struggling to recruit across all branches, a problem critics linked to the military's embrace of progressive policies, the woke movement. This is why they're having such a hard time getting people. You know, and I had to laugh to hear Austin stand up there, and Austin put out this warning to the Houthis. And I just had this picture in my mind, and Austin dropping a brigade of drag queens down, okay? Because, I mean, this is what these guys, him and Milley, just unbelievable what they've done, what they have done to destroy our military.
Oh, and those Muslim terrorists are going to be just terrified of a bunch of sodomites and drag. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Anyhow,
speaking of attacks on the faith, did you hear that there's a story about Chick-fil-A in the news? Their New York legislature is trying to get a bill through forcing Chick-fil-A outlets at state rest stops to cancel the company's longtime practice of closing on Sunday. Chick-fil-A started back in Georgia in 1946. And since then, they have never been open on Sunday so that the families can have a day of rest, be with their loved ones and worship if they choose. They don't force anything on anyone. Now, what happened was the state of New York awarded Chick-fil-A 10 locations as part of a remodeling of a thruway 27 rest stops. This has been closed for about a year, I guess. And they knew that Chick-fil-A was Christian. The thruway authority knew that they would be closed on Sunday. So they made a 33-year contract to manage these facilities. And there are some rules and regulations. So wherever there was a Chick-fil-A, it made sure there was another restaurant that would be open that would supply the need and anyway, the whole thing. But the legislature is putting this bill in to require all food providers that operate at any state transportation facilities or rest area to be open 7 days a week. Why? Well, Chick-fil-A has a record of charitable donations to Christian organizations. Imagine that, a Christian business giving some of its profits to Christian organizations. And the liberals in New York say Chick-fil-A has a history of opposing LGBTQ rights, and so they have to be shut down. That's basically what's going on in New York State.
All righty. Well, they've got virtually a witch as a governor.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much.
Yeah. Okay.
Communist type.
That deals right with that. President Trump pledges to end war on Christians. At the Gateway Pundit reported, President Trump delivered remarks at Waterloo, Iowa on Tuesday as he sits comfy 50-point lead at the Hawkeye State. Trump discussed very important topics with Iowa voters, such as the recent ruling in Colorado and the war on Christians, Christmas, and much more. During his remarks, Trump stated that under the Biden regime, Christians have been under attack. And when he's back in the Oval Office, he will end the war on Christians. Well, he's 110% right on that. Here he goes on to say, he proceeds to tell the crowd at Waterloo, "When I am back in the White House, never again will your government be used to target Christians and other believers. Upon taking office, I will create a new federal task force on fighting anti-Christian bias, to be led by the fully reformed Department of Justice." So we have to get him in there. This is why the deep state, this is why the snakes there. I mean, just unbelievable. The corruption in the FBI, the corruption in the so-called Department of Justice. This is why they are so afraid, because he's going to do that. And like Hillary said, if Trump gets back in, we're all going to hang, because they're all guilty of treason against God and country.
Amen. Amen. I was just going to say, how do you breed snakes and rats together? But I guess the liberals can do it.
Yep. El Salvador president is first global leader to push back on Joe Baba Biden and the Democratic fascist move to remove the leading opposition leader from the ballot. And so they're talking about in Colorado about taking Trump off the ballot. The El Salvador leader Nayib Bukele was the first to push back on his shocking, undemocratic move by Colorado lawmakers. He said, "The United States has lost its ability to lecture any other country about democracy." All right.
It's
Joe?
It's kind of sad that he's telling the truth.
You know what time it is, don't you? 5 minutes. Do it.
5 minutes. All right. Real quick, I want to. One thing I've been handing out this Christmas, and I got to read this real quick. Mice die in mousetraps because they do not understand why the cheese is free. The same thing happens with socialism. I've been passing out about 100 or 200 of those stickers. Everyone that my dearest friends, the happiest people that I know are all born-again believers. They laugh more. They enjoy life more. They worry less. They are busy helping others. Their lives are fulfilled. Why? Well, to me, it's real simple, because I'm one of them. They have that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They have their down payment on everlasting life. And they have been made new, new people, new creatures. Are you happy with your life? Do you worry? Do you fret? Do you fear? Are you angry? Are you fighting addictions, cravings? Are you searching for something? Our Lord, when He made us, when He created us, He left a gap in us that can only be filled by Him, by His presence that makes us whole, makes us complete. And that happens when we become born-again believers. When we become a born-again believer, we have a spiritual baptism. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. And that indwelling fills us. That brings us into a personal relationship. So many times people talk about religion, religion, religion. I have a relationship. I have a personal relationship with the Creator of the universe, with God Himself, through His Holy Spirit dwelling in me. If you want that peace, that joy, that happiness, that new birth, it's really simple. You have to stop and consider, Jesus said what? That He was the only way to the Father. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. You can't get to God unless you go through His Son. John 3:3 says, unless a man, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So it's real simple. You have to call on God the Father and confess with a repentant heart that you're sorry, that He had to send His Son, His only begotten Son, to come and die upon a cross, take your place, my place.
1 minute, Joe.
Place, take and pay the price of our sin. The wages of sin is death. And if you call upon the Father and ask for forgiveness, it will be granted if you have a true heart. Then you can call upon Jesus and ask Him to be Lord of your life, all of your life. You have to give yourself to Him willingly, completely, and He will accept you and give you that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that spiritual baptism, and you become then that new creature, that new creation, a child of the kingdom, a joint heir with Jesus in everlasting life. You will be changed forever and be what all of us call ourselves, born-again believers, because you've been reborn as a new person in God, a son or daughter of the living God, and you will have a personal relationship with God.
And it doesn't get any better than that. Thanks, Joe. We're out of time for tonight. Karen in Pence, PA, gives 50. We pledges 50. Thank you. Folks out there, we will be here for about another 7 minutes. We need to hear from you. We got 7 minutes to hear from you. So until tomorrow, we want to say good night.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless.
And always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Ah, ho, ho, ho.
Hey, what's wrong, Santa?
Well, it's these elves. The new ones all feel entitled. They don't want to work their way up the ladder. In fact, they hardly want to work at all. Then there's those social justice elves. They keep pointing out everyone's differences, dividing the elves and getting them all riled up. And don't get me started about the reindeer rights elves. The shop floor just isn't the happy little place it used to be.
We should have used Red Balloon.
That's right, Santa. RedBalloon.work is America's woke-free job board. Every day, we help good companies find reliable, motivated job seekers without all the woke nonsense. And our new Red Balloon recruiter service is turning traditional corporate recruiting on its head, delivering high-quality employees for a fraction of the price. Give yourself a Christmas gift and post your jobs on RedBalloon.work today. And use promo code SALEM to get 10% off your first month's job posting. Because life's too short for a bad hire.